We have to have the Lord as our spotlight. We serve the King of Kings, and we're called to be bold. We're called to be on fire. We're called to be the light of Christ. We're called to be that city on a hill, unashamed and bold for Christ. Amen? But I see it, how you know, words can be spoken, but actions will prove your words. So you can speak a good story, but your actions will prove what you really believe. Are we all at the Gospel of John? Yes, amen. Talking about the eternal word, the word of God, the eternal word that does not return unto us void. It is the word of God. He's holy. His word is holy. His word is eternal. His word changes not. Jesus, the word of God, who lives and dwells on the inside of us by the Spirit of the Holy of God, the Holy Spirit, is alive and well and in us. Amen. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was, and the Word is still with us, and always will be with us. Praise God forevermore. Praise God forevermore that this Word here that I just read in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1, if we just take this one Word and eat it, consume it, and live by it, you would be transformed. If you would take that it was in the beginning, so it's not an afterthought, neither are you. In the beginning was the Word, which means in the beginning was the divine revelation, the expression of God, Jesus, Jesus Christ in the beginning. Amen? And the Word was with. And the Word was with. And Jesus was with God in the beginning. And so for those that would want to argue against Jesus being God and Jesus being with God in the beginning at creation, just need to read the Gospel of John. As a matter of fact, we can make it really plain and really simple. You just need to read John 1:1. And you need to read it over and over and over until it gets into your spirit, man, so that you can understand in the beginning was and in the beginning is and still is. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he says he was in the beginning with God. If they move on to verse 2, it should seal the deal. He was in the beginning with God. Who is he? Who are we talking about? We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about the lover of our souls. We're talking about the one that we sing to. We're talking about the reason that we're here. Are you here for Jesus? Are you here because you love him? Yeah, because you're committed to him. So he was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. We have church, and I mean like at large, people, population, Christians, believers, that are afraid. They're afraid to come to church. You know, before they were afraid to come to church because it was COVID. Now some of them are afraid to come because we had that horrific death of which I spoke about multiple times. But let me tell you, do you remember what I told you right when that thing happened? Right when it happened, it was horrible. But I told you what the Lord shared with me, that some people were going to walk in fear because of it. I told you some people were going to walk in fear because that's what the Lord told me. We have a world that is, are you really trusting in God if you're walking in fear? No, no. Your life doesn't belong to you. It belongs to Jesus. It belongs to Christ. Our lives, you know, you shouldn't be the one that's trying to maneuver every step and secure every step and make sure you're fortified and protected. This is whom we serve. We serve Christ. That's his job. We serve the King of Kings. And we're called to be bold. We're called to be on fire. We're called to be the light of Christ. We're called to be that city on a hill, unashamed and bold for Christ. Amen? But I see it, how you know, words can be spoken, but actions will prove your words. So you can speak a good story, but your actions will prove what you really believe. Amen? So he was in the beginning. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. We were made. We were created in his image. We were created in his glory. Amen? And the light shines in the darkness. And we are the light of Christ. And we are the light in this world because the light, the greatest light, lives on the inside of us, which is Christ. And so, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Right? It's like, it didn't seize it, didn't lay hold of it. Oh, Lord, help us be those lights that won't ever quit. Help us be those lights. I believe we are those lights. I believe with we are those lights that refuse to go dull or dim. I believe that we are those lights that show forth the brightness of His glory, so beautifully bright, so strong, that when they see you, they need to see Jesus. Church, when they see you, they need to hear Jesus. When they see you, when they hear you, they need to know that there is a Jesus, because you walked in. Because you're not, it's not about you anymore. Really should have never been, but it really is not about you anymore. But there, the truth of it is there comes a day when you realize it is not about me. It's not about how good you are or how bad you are. I don't care what end of the spectrum you are. It's not about you. It's not about how good you think you might be, because you're really not. And it's also not about how bad or how fearful or how scared you might be, because you know what? Submit all of that unto the Lordship of Jesus Christ and realize the only way, like I shared when we were worshiping, we were created to worship Him, right? You're not going to be fulfilled until you actually worship Him and you become a worshiper, right? And the only way that your life is going to be fulfilled is, number one, you recognize you're a worshiper of Christ, but then number two, you realize that you have broken out of the old mold of trying to do things your way, trying to be, trying to protect, trying to cover, and you really so trust in Jesus that it's not about you at all in any way. That's true freedom, church. You don't care anymore about what people think about you. I don't care about what people think about me anymore. And it has to happen. It has to happen. You have to get to that place where you really don't care. I'm not planning on being friends with everybody, are you? And it's okay. Jesus didn't have friends everywhere He went. He had a lot of haters. He had his disciples, some which betrayed Him, but He had His haters, did He not? Yes. Oh, He had many, many haters. But He still remained in the position of authority of who He is, Christ. He never shifted, right? He did not, and we're not going to shift either. Why? Because the living Word lives on the inside of you. Say it with me. The living Word lives on the inside of me. The living Word lives on the inside of me. The living Word lives on the inside of me. Let's say it like this. The living expression of God lives on the inside of me. The living expression of God. Yeah, because by His Spirit, the living expression, that means God wants to express Himself through you. Amen. That means the Holy Spirit wants to express Himself through you. Amen. And we do that as we worship. We do that as we speak to people. We do that in the gifts that He has given us. Some of you are artists in this room. Amen. I'm looking at one of them right now. We've got some artists in this room. We've got some authors in this room. We've got business owners in this room. We have all kinds of teachers in this room. We have caregivers in this room. Amen. We have all kinds of retail workers, you know, stay-at-home moms. We have all different types, construction workers, business owners, like I said. We have all different types of people, correct? But what you were called to do, you were called to do it giving God glory 100% in your work. To give God glory in your work, at school. We have students in this room, in your schooling, to give God glory, right? Why? Because the living expression lives on you, the living expression of God. We could say it like this, the living epistle. The living epistle, the Word of God, lives on the inside of you, because the Word of God is the Spirit of God. And it lives on the inside of you. So if the living epistle lives on the inside of you and He's not dead, He's alive, what are you doing with the living epistle? Because God wants to shine forth out of you in a brilliant, brilliant light. Amen? He is Almighty God. He is El Shaddai. He is Almighty, which means the all-sufficient one, the all-sufficient God. Jump over to John 8. How many of you love the Gospel of John? I mean, the whole Bible is so powerful, but, you know, I don't know if you're like me, but you'll be in a book. And you'll be like, oh, I love this book. This is like my favorite book. Then you'll be in another place, and you'll be like, oh, I love this. This is like my favorite part. This is my favorite portion of the scripture. It's true, but because it all comes alive, because it is alive. So it's like you read it, and you're just going, where do you start? Verse 12 of John 8. Then Jesus said to them again, He said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me, He says, shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. He who follows me. We are to be people that follow very, very closely with the Word. The Word. The living Word. The living expression. The living epistle. We are to be people to understand how to walk closer, more, even closer than before, closer than ever with the living word. Church, it's the only way. And very soon, it's going to be very apparent for those that really, truly are walking 100% close to the Lord and those that are not.
I could not wait to share this news with you all. The Lord is doing incredible things at this ministry, and it is because of partnership with each and every one of you. You know, just a few quick testimonies, but we've got testimonies of people getting saved, rededicating their lives to the Lord, people coming off of addiction, all types of addiction, people getting healed physically. I am telling you, the power of God is present in this ministry. And I just wanted to say, you know what? You are a part of what God is doing. This is a kingdom-minded ministry. So every seed that you sow, I want you to know with every fiber of your being that you are planting in good soil. So thank you for your partnership as we continue to reach the souls for Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's get back into the Word.
Again, what just took place last week with the passing Charlie, right? The assassination, the murderous activity, horrendous, horrible crime committed against such an incredible man of God. So we have a lot of people right now still talking about it. And of course, and I understand, I mean, it's grievous, and our hearts need to be praying. We need to be praying for the family members. Because it'd be hard. It would be so hard if you put yourself in her shoes, the wife and the kids, right? So we need to be praying. But I do see a lot of people still talking about that, and I understand it's a shock, and it's you know, very shocking for many. And I see a lot of people being very bold, and you know, speaking up and making some decisions to live for Christ and to live for Christ like they never have lived before. And that's a good thing. That's really a good thing. But what I've thought of this week, as I've seen countless of individuals saying how that tragedy woke them up, what I was thinking was, why did it have to take that? I mean, I'm glad that did that for you, for those, and I don't, maybe some are here and maybe they're not. But you guys know, too, because you, if you have social media, you'll know there's a lot of people that are, you know, they're making these decisions that they're going to change the way they post. They're going to post about Jesus now. You know, I've seen a lot of, like, musicians. They're like, now they're going to let it be known that they're, you know. I mean, and this is not a judgment. There's a turning point for everybody. I get it. There is a turning point for everybody. And I'm glad that there is a turning point. We all had that moment, too, I believe, right? But I guess just where I'm at in my walk with the Lord, I'm like, because I've heard some people from this church too say that. That was hurtful. That was painful. Because I thought, why would it take a death like that to cause you to wake up? Because there's no watered down gospel here. Why would it take something like that to wake you up, to cause you to walk on fire? That's number one. Number two, what I've been thinking about is, for those that are now saying that they're sold out, are you really sold out? Is it going to last? And I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just speaking truth. Our lives are sold out to Jesus when we realize everything within this vessel has to die. We have to die before we can truly live. And until we die, it's like that seed has to die before the seed then can produce a multitude. That means in the hardest of all, hardest of all, hardest times in your lives, you need to realize it is all for Jesus. It was never about your comforts. It was never about your provision. It was never, even though God is a God of comfort, even though God is a provider, even though He is so very good, at the same time, there has to come a point in your life where you realize it is so all about Jesus and completely nothing about me that I have one life to live for Him, and this one life I will live 100% sold out and committed no matter what. No matter what? No matter if your prayers come to pass or not, no matter if the desires that you've been thinking that you need, you want, you pray, no matter what. Do you understand about the no matter what? That's what he's looking for. And so if you could be so easily moved with somebody else's death that you don't even know, how long is that going to last? When are you going to wake up and realize it is my life that has to die? Our lives. The only time you're going to live fully for Christ is when you realize your life already died. And so your emotions and your mindset and everything, your will has to follow suit. And then there's such joy in the provision that he pours out. You know why? Because that's where the oil is. There's so much joy in the provision because the oil of your sufferings, the oil of your pain starts to well up, not because you are wallowing in pain, but because you let it all go. And you looked to him and you trusted him and you said, oh God, what else can I give unto you? It's radical what I'm talking about, but it requires a radical lifestyle. Christianity, true Christianity, is not convenient. People think it's got to be convenient. It's not convenient. It was not convenient for Jesus to die on the cross. It was not convenient. Some people go, well, you know, it's popular. It's something I want to do. We want to go to the, you know, the popular mega churches in there because we can, you know, all these people are doing the same thing we're doing. But your focus is on people then instead of Jesus. You need to go where God's called you to go, period. Whether it's big church, little church, doesn't matter. But your focus needs to be on Jesus. Needs to be on Christ, Christ alone, the hope of glory. I'm going to read this scripture to you again, and this is John 8 and 12. Because we can read right through a scripture like this and not really gain the depths of understanding of what God wants us to have. Then Jesus spoke to them again, and he said, I am the light of the world, and he who follows after me shall not walk in darkness. People think darkness, okay, the obvious, well, I'm not going to cheat, I'm not going to lie, I'm not going to steal, you know, the obvious, I'm not going to, just all the obvious things, right? How about those little foxes that spoil the vine? Because that's dark too. I think I realize those little foxes that spoil the vine, those little attitudes, those little offenses, well, I'm not praying for that person, that attitude, it's like, that's a fox that's spoiling the vine. It really is. So, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. We're following after Christ, so there shall be no, there cannot be, there should not be any darkness in us, but the light of Christ. And what I'm talking about here today, which is really just being sold out for Jesus, if we were to narrow it down, sold out for Jesus. There's so much peace and joy in that. There's so much joy, there's so much peace, there's contentment, there's belonging, there's identity, there's provision, there is everything. I am telling you everything. Now, some of you, I understand, some of you are like, yes, you're 100% with me, you get it, there was a point in your life where you recognize you laid it all down, you serve Christ now fully, no matter what. It's not to say you don't still feel pain, but you don't let the pain lead you anymore. You don't let the trials, you don't let the difficulties get the better of you anymore. We all have them. But you just don't let them get the better of you anymore because you've tasted and you've seen how good God is. You've tasted, and it's not just you've tasted and seen, you've learned to trust your Savior. You know, we sing about trusting him. We sing about trusting him, and he wants us to trust him fully. But that's a walk, and that's a progression. To get there fully, there's a progression. And wherever you are at in the progression, praise God for it. But we continue to walk. and we continue to get to that place of being sold out and being radical. How many of you would say, well, the minute I said yes to Jesus, I was sold out and radical? Because you'd be maybe the elite few, because most of us, there was a walk. Most of us, there was a progression, because you don't even know what you really did when you received Christ. It's like, well, now this whole unveiling of this beautiful, radical gift of Christ becomes true in you, but it's a progression typically, correct? And so, and that's true for many of us, amen? Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Is this making sense so far to people? Like, do you understand? Like, going back to the tragic event, enemy is just so cruel and heartless, but he doesn't get to have victory. He doesn't get to win. We know that. We do know that. We know God will work all things together for good. He turns it all together for good. But getting back to that, you know, I just feel like we need to, as for people that come to this church, okay, people that God has brought here unto the house of glory, that I'm responsible for, and I feel responsible for the people that God brings, because I know that my job is to steward and to steward well, to lead and to lead well, to bring people closer to Christ, because that's the bottom line. The bottom line is that I bring people to serve Christ and to walk closer with him. Now, we all have to do our part. Right? I can only give, share, pray, but then we all have to do our part, right? Okay, and so one thing that I've been praying about this week is that us as a body of Christ, that we would never, none of us would ever shrink back in any way, any shape, any form, any way, that instead, because you know, when the hype starts to wane, then that's when you see what remains. And that's what I was saying before, but that cannot be any of you. That shall not be, I'm speaking that I shall not be any of you, because you didn't just turn to love Christ because there was a tragic event. There are many tragic events that happen, and there are many unsung heroes. There are many unsung heroes. There are many horrendous things that take place and we would never know. We would never know. But they're known in heaven. The Lord knows them. There are many stories here that will never be told and some will never know. But the Lord knows. He knows your story. He knows your story, and it's celebrated in heaven. What you've given up, what you have had to die through and just surrender it all and change. It's been rejoiced over in heaven. Are you following? Some of you have stories that will never be spoken. And then some of you have stories that you do share, testimonies that can be shared. Praise God for those too. Praise God for those too. But what I'm saying is live life intentional, with an intentionality that you're going to be one that never shrinks back. When the hype, when all the talk, when every post, every podcast, every YouTube video, everything that you see, every newscaster, when all of that starts to kind of wane because there's the next thing that takes up, and that's kind of how it goes. The next thing, and then now that's the spotlight. You know, now that's the spotlight. We have to, thank you, because that's what I was just going to say. We have to have the Lord as our spotlight. Our eyes need to be on Jesus. We have to be, we have compassion, we mourn with those who mourn, we celebrate and rejoice with those who rejoice, but our eyes need to be on Jesus. We carry the light of Christ, there shall be no darkness in us. If we carry the light of Christ, then everywhere we go, we're going to bring that glorious, radiant light that transforms people, transforms situations, transforms areas. Amen? We're going into a conference next week, right? So we have, today's Thursday, we're just a week away, a week and a day, right? So we're very, very close. We're going to be in a room filled with people that are coming from other states, right? Six different states that I know of. I mean, I don't know where everybody's coming from, but those that have let me know. Lots of people are coming, right? Why do I say this? Because we, as the body of Christ, as House of Glory, need to be ready. Need to be ready to receive with open arms. It's not about us. It cannot be about you. The enemy tries very, very hard, and he has already for weeks, to send all kinds of assignments, to try to get in there, all kinds of ways. Be on guard. recognize the strategies of the enemy, the tactics, the wiles of the devil, are to try to get in there and try to cause an offense, to try to cause a problem, try to cause a rift, to just try to cause all kinds of problems. You know, attacking of finances, attacking of health, attacking of time, just everything, everything. It's almost like you kind of have to expect it, but you don't settle for it. And expectant meaning that you know his tactics, but you don't tolerate his tactics. Do you see what I'm saying? You're not going to tolerate it. Instead, you're going to rise up in your authority and say, oh, excuse me, but maybe you didn't know, but I carry the light of Christ in me. There is no darkness at all. So we command that thing to go. We say it's under our feet, and we're going to keep Jesus as the focus, and we're going to keep on running because there are people that are going to come that don't know Christ. There are people that are going to come that know Christ. Wonderful. They're going to receive. But there are also people that don't know Jesus that are going to come to this conference. And we need to recognize not everyone that walks through those doors is going to be a follower yet. But we want them to walk out of those doors being a follower of Christ. And that's going to determine us. That's going to depend upon us as the body of Christ, recognizing we are in this together to be the hands and feet of Jesus, and not just next Friday, but every single day of our lives, to live this way every single day of our lives, because we've been equipped. You've been equipped. The word of God that's living and active and powerful lives on the inside of you. The word of God, he says, the light of Christ he's put on the inside of you. There is no darkness at all. Say, there's no darkness at all in me. There is no darkness at all in me. It is the light of Christ.